fund. And yes, if 264 passes, then there would be an increased reduction in general fund.
And if it doesn't pass?
And if it doesn't pass, there'd be a $700,000 reduction in general funds, which is why there's $700,000 shown here.
If we fund the program?
If you fund the program, absolutely. That goes without saying.
$700,000 doesn't exist.
Well, I have the floor.
I'd like to ask Mr. Conway if either of these other program reductions here are eligible for the 470 fund, either the 70,000 reduction in spill prevention, planning, and management, or the spill response office 230,000. Could those come from the 470 fund?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, the numbers that you have here are only part of my budget picture. They are response fund eligible. Everything that spill prevention and response division does is response fund eligible. I have a limited amount of general funds which were used for overhead to staff the director's office, the section offices, and so forth, where there was no, you know, there was no specific one single program doing that. So in absorbing our share of the general fund cuts, the reductions, and in going through and looking at the 93 response fund allocations that we have submitted to OMB, there were further reductions on the response fund side as well. That not being the topic of tonight's hearing, they aren't shown. But so it's what's happening is for certain scenarios that occurred in the reductions of what we had requested for response fund end up playing out in what positions we keep and what positions we reduce. So that what we're seeing here are the number, total number of positions that are reduced in SPAR, but there are no positions reduced in SPAR because of the response fund reductions. However, when we did those reductions, it impacted where I would choose those from. And if I can have a minute to explain that, the spill response office, we looked at sort of the instructions were to identify programs and the priorities that we had and the programs, looking at rather than spreading the cut across the board and reducing everything to levels where they're not functioning very well. We had to look at the priorities of things that we were doing and looking at how we could best absorb the reductions. So one of the areas that we elected to, you know, it tugs at my heart to have to do that, but to make the reductions that are there is that the spill response office is a group of people which there's a central office group with some of the central office positions being, or headquarters positions if you will, being in the regions. We have a position in Fairbanks, a position in Kenai, one in Anchorage, one in Juneau for central office positions, but there's an additional core of people that are part of our co-located group in Anchorage where we have an environmental manager who heads up the whole spill response office and various staff there. And to do this reduction, what I felt was important to make sure that we had a capability to respond to spills is that the people that are out in those regional offices already would start working for the regional administrators who are our state on-scene coordinators. So what we end up doing is have the opportunity to centralize the function or provide somebody for our state on-scene coordinators to focus in on just that region, improve their capability to respond to spills, reduce our overhead with that program, set up within the central office a spill management unit, which provides a program development and implementation policies and so forth, so we still have that capability to respond. Now, one of the in anticipation of the impacts or mitigating the impacts is to develop a call-out system to where what we had wanted to do having the centralized core group was to have two things. One of it is a hazardous materials response capability for the state. And the second was to have a core group of people that would go to the scene of a catastrophic spill and get us going on the catastrophic spill response. We're going to have a program, we'll have to develop the program where we have a call out to have that oil spill response capability. Now, the hazardous materials response capability is something that we're going to have to sacrifice. It takes six or eight people that can be fully dedicated to training to responding to hazardous material spills. and it's a very personnel-consuming kind of thing, waiting for an incident to happen. So I wanted to make sure that we could at least handle our basic spill response. We'll still have the opportunity to train our people for first aid kind of hazardous materials response. We just will not be able to get geared up to send in a team, put them in a hazardous materials environment, do the plugging and patching. So that is the... Oh, the other thing that we could think about on other strategies to handle this is to place some sort of requirement on the industry to have a commercial hazardous materials response team stationed in Anchorage or something like that, to put that burden on them to have that capability to go in to the incidents that they have. The other position that we have reduced here is the spill prevention planning and management position for the regional contingency plans. And as I assessed where I could take hits in the budget, I felt that we're making good progress with our local emergency planning committees, and that this is the ground level where plans need to be developed. Therefore, if we have a system where we can take all these local plans, mesh them together, and I didn't see it's redundant or unnecessary, in my opinion, to have 10 regional plans around the state, which was what the plan had been before. You would have 10 regions, and they would all... That's just an unnecessary step, I think. And so it leaves us people to do the state master plan. The state master plan is important because it integrates all of the state resources, not DEC, but it has the other agencies, Fish and Game, DNR, Department of Administration, Public Safety. All of those have to be integrated into the spill response, and that happens through the state master plan, the drills and inspections. It was said earlier tonight, prevention. It has a much higher cost-benefit ratio on the benefit side, and that's we wanted to make sure that we kept our prevention program up as much as we could.
Well, I just wanted to go back a little bit to your spill response offices. Where are they located again?
The spill response office is a headquarters unit that reports directly to me. I have a couple people in Juneau to work the paperwork management side of it. I have approximately 6 people up in Anchorage that are co-located with DES. Those positions do not report to the regions. Now, there is a spill response office position in Kenai. There's one in Anchorage. There's one in Fairbanks, and one in Juneau. So what happens is they work together as a team. They come together every month or so, and then they go back and they work to develop the response capability for the local areas. And in the event that there's a spill, for instance, on the Kenai, our person there is Gary Foley. He has the familiarity with that area. He provides the leadership, and when the team would go there in the event of a response, he would be the leader. We have a person up in Fairbanks that if there's a release up there, then that person knows the area and the team focuses in on that. Those positions that are out in the communities that I mentioned, those 4 communities, will stay there. We will abolish the central office unit as it exists now. Those regional people will now work for our regional administrators who are the state on scene coordinators.
Okay, do you have any in Valdez or Prudhoe?
We have none out of this office. We have other spill responders that are there. For instance, the state on-scene coordinator for Valdez or for Prince William Sound is the regional administrator from our pipeline coordinator office. One of these positions will go to him. So that person will help the state on-scene coordinator focus in on Valdez. In addition, our pipeline corridor region has the North Slope area of responsibility. So that position that we're going to give him will take care of that from the broad perspective. But Simon Mawson, who's the state on-scene coordinator, has regular staff that they're what we call rainbow people. They do a number of DEC activities. They're not dedicated to spill response, but if there is a spill, they can handle it until somebody else comes in to pick up the more detailed parts of the investigation and response part. There are people in Valdez and there are people in Prudhoe that do that day in and day out.
Okay, thank you.
On this point. Yeah, again, we're taking $230,000 away from nothing, and we're getting a savings of $230,000. Could you explain that math to me?
The The way the general fund was distributed within spill prevention and response, we had it go in, as I mentioned before, the director's office and our section chiefs, which is the overhead, the management for our programs.
I might save some time. Maybe I'm reading the sheet wrong, but where you say total fiscal year 93 budget, is that your total budget, or is that your total budget now after you've taken reductions from somewhere else?
I was writing, so I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Under the spill response office, where on your sheet where it says total fiscal year 93 budget, you got $2,034,700. Is that the total figure under the spill response office, or is that the number that's left after you've taken reductions from somewhere else?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, that's the total spill prevention budget, including the 470 fund.
Right.
So that would be a combination of general funds and 470 funds.
Well, you say general funds, it says you don't have any. That's your next column. And then you say general fund reduction, $230,000. And I guess...
Okay, what we had done was, because I was taking reductions in both the response fund and the general fund, and because all of the activities in our fund are response fund eligible, we were able to take what we had general funded and distribute it, so where we could make sure we kept our management overhead to keep the division in place. So
you could look at it as a shift. To make it easy, you have $1,000 in general funds.
Explain it carefully, because I think we got a way to balance the budget this year without it having any money.
You have $1,000 in general funds and $1,000 in 470 funds. And what you're spending out for that $1,000 in general funds, you could use the 470 fund to do. But you don't want to spend any more out of your 470 fund than you're already spending. So you knock some stuff out of your 470 fund, and you take some stuff out of your general fund, and you put it down there in the 470 fund. So then you're only spending $500 in general funds, and you're still spending $1,000 in response funds, and you're not spending that other $500 that you've knocked out. You knocked it out of the 470 fund initially, but you dropped general fund activities down into it. Does that make sense?
See, I understand all of that, but I don't understand where that general fund comes from the first place when you say there isn't any there.
There is in the division.
Okay. We can go over it some other time.
It ends up to be able to, Mr. Chairman, if I may, Madam Chair, whoever's the chair.
Representative Brown.
Well, I just wanted to ask what relevance reducing activities of the 470 fund has toward the exercise of balancing the general fund bottom line. I mean, it doesn't save us any money, because those dollars are not available for anything else. I mean, we could not, say, you know, move them over and spend them on education or anything else, because the statute specifies what they can be spent for. So why not do the appropriate activities out of that fund? Why are we reducing the 470 expenditures?
We have such a small amount of general fund within the division. If we took the cut, the general fund cut within the division, we would have staff but no management of the staff. And that's why we needed to reprioritize. It's for the exercise I had to go through, because I'm such heavily response funded. If we took the general fund cuts, that would not reflect the priorities of the division. To be able to do the job that we have, we actually have to put general funds and response funds together. I have to take the response fund cuts and the amount that the general fund would be cut and add that to that. So to have come up with an overall bottom line cut for the division. So the way our budget structure is, had it been just general fund, the division wouldn't be able to exist.
Although, as I said in my first question, we could have just taken the general fund expenditures and moved them to the 470 fund, freeing up general fund dollars for other purposes, even in other departments, couldn't we?
We could do that, and then what will happen, again, it'll be another reduction within, it'll end up being reductions, because the response fund was reduced. Although it's not reflected on here, we have had a reduction.
Could you provide us those proposed reductions to the response fund?
I was just checking with Cheryl. They are in the budget amendment package which has come forward, so we'll get you an extra, we'll get you a copy. We thought that you had them.
Overall,
what's the magnitude of them?
Okay, between the, Mr. Chair and Representative Brown, between the two funds and the cuts that we took approximately, we took over a $2 million cut in response fund, and then $1 million cut in general fund. So the magnitude is a $3 million cut, and that's why I'm saying that we need to prioritize the activities that we do in the division rather than just take those cuts at face value. Because if we take a $3 million cut, we have to have the flexibility to keep the division functioning.
I'd make one other observation. I don't believe it was referenced that in this combination for the spill response office of reducing four positions, that it was noted that the combination or co-location of the Department of Environmental Conservation people in the Armored Division of Emergency Services. Mike mentioned four there. I think we've got eight. But we believe, actually, that that combined effort in co-locating and operating that office does, in fact, also result in some savings. So wouldn't you say, Mike, that although there is this reduction of four people, that there's some efficiencies in the co-location and operation of that office?
Commissioner, there has been efficiencies by doing that. However, with these reductions, there will not be any spill responders co-located. What we'll have to do is we're looking at our planners and we're working with DES in the getting ready for a transition to an all-hazard CERC and talking with the Director of Division of Administrative Emergency Services there. We need to coordinate our planning function, so the co-located group's going to take a shift. There, these positions that between the positions that are being cut and the positions that are going to the regions, there won't be anybody left at the co-located group.
In total, then, Mr. Chairman, there's five positions in this division that are reduced, four of which are filled, one of which is vacant. And it would be our intention to try to utilize these individuals in one of these vacancies among the 34 that exist in the department. Any other questions with regard to spill prevention and response?
Thank you. Well, just one more time. The question is, why are we reducing expenditures out of the 470 fund, as you've described? Because unlike the ARLF or the PDRLF or many other funds that are not being considered for a reduction, if they were otherwise available, they would be general funds. That's not the case with these particular funds, and I'd just like to hear your explanation of why you think that's appropriate, given the history of the Exxon Valdez and the importance of maintaining adequate response capability.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, the Spill Prevention and Response Division is funded not totally from 470 funds, and this display only shows the general funds component of it. And I ask that this general fund component of this division be reduced. Your point, I guess, if I understand it, is that these reductions, which we credit actually to general fund reductions, could actually be funded by 470 funds.
Well, Commissioner, he just stated that you were proposing a $2 million reduction in the 470 funds, and that's what I'm asking about. Some local
printer. Yeah, substantially more than that, but...
Well, I guess with respect to this program, why is that appropriate in this program in particular?
Well, yeah, in addition to focusing on reductions in general funds, we also are recommending substantial reductions in 470 funds as well. We believe, the Department of Environmental Conservation believes that indeed we ought to exercise economies wherever possible in the 470 fund as well as in all categories of funding. And you will note when we cover the 470 funding, what was originally proposed and what we're now recommending, a very significant reduction. So that was also a target for us as well.
Okay, but you're not asserting that our spill capability is adequate at this time, are you?
Yes, I believe it is. I guess there may be some difference of opinion in Mike's noting that we don't have people at each one of these locations, but I believe our response capability is adequate. Mike,
do you want to address this question? To respond to an Exxon LD, you think so?
Mr. Chair, Representative Brown, I believe we, with this scenario, we can keep the capability to respond to oil spills at the level it is already. For an Exxon Valdez oil spill, if you look at the number of employees that were on the payroll at the time the spill happened, and that's a phenomenal number and require a phenomenal budget at this point. So we're looking at a reasonable budget to make sure we keep a prevention program intact, looking at preventing spills from happening. The implementation of House Bill 567 regulations are coming up. The one area where I say that we absolutely have to cut, that we can't do and can't be held accountable for, is getting people in a hazardous materials response team mode, to where we endanger our employees to send them into a leaking tank somewhere, because we just don't have, without that central office capability or that SRO capability of doing that. So in the looking at having to reduce things, that looks, you know, that's the one area where there are other alternatives to cover, and the one I mentioned was to require the industry to have a contractor or have that own capability in South Central Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, did I understand you to say, or someone to say, that you received instructions from OMB to reduce your 470 expenditures and by a particular amount?
No, Mr. Chairman and Representative Vollmer, we received direction from the Governor, the Office of Management and Budget, and the Cabinet in total in examining our budget planning activities, that we would all look for opportunities for savings in all funding levels and funding sources. And our objective is to be as efficient as possible, to look for opportunities for savings, to try to make certain that we're not, misusing 470 funds. Shortly after I became commissioner, I ordered an audit of the 470 fund itself, and that audit showed that the fund was not properly managed, and that funds were being spent on activities that were not really directly related, or at least were questionable. So the audit report suggested that we tighten this up, that we identify a fund manager, hold that fund manager accountable, and so we really tightened the screws on that. So in answer to your question, all of us in the administration are focusing on attention of reducing expenditures from all funds with respect to 470. We have the added obligation to follow the recommendations of the audit report in trying to keep these funds properly allocated to the sources for which or activities for which the fund was intended.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if Representative Brown, as chairman of the subcommittee, has a copy of that audit.
I have that.
I would very much appreciate receiving a copy of that.
Okay, we'll give you that.
Could I ask who did the audit?
Beg your pardon?
Could I ask who did the audit?
This was an internal audit, Joe Ellen Hanrahan. This is included in the audit report, and update is included in the 470 annual report that has been already presented to the legislature.
So we do have the annual.
Because as I recall, you kind of had an attitude to reduce the 470 fund expenditures from the first day that you appeared before me.
I am I did not target 470 fund, as Mr. Chairman, alone, but really all the funding sources.
Thank you. Other questions? Representative Mackey.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I realize we're wrapping up here rapidly, but I was wondering, Commissioner, on the general fund reduction section of this sheet that you provided for us, as we go down the line, just to follow up on a question that Representative Larson posed a little bit earlier as to how you could have $230,000 savings when there isn't any general funds to take from. Are any of these others that we may not have an opportunity to get to maybe of that same nature? Or, I guess the storage tank assistance fund, where it shows $700,000 in savings and zero general funds, is that...
I think we beat that one to
that
death.
Should be... That's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, it, that should show general funds.
Oh. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mackey, the SPAR division is the only division that's funded through the 470 fund, so that'll be the only division where you see a switching of funding from general fund to the 470 fund, which is what that indicates.
Okay, and all the rest of these, if, Mr. Chairman, if I can continue, the general fund reduction column, then those all do reflect actual general fund dollar reductions then? To arrive at the 2.4? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, any further questions on this division?
Nope.
I would like to move to the Division of Environmental Quality and ask that Mike Menge join us in this particular division. We have the largest reductions totaling approximately 900,000, and this reflects in a total of 9 positions being reduced, 4 of which are filled positions and 5 of which are vacant. So this division took, I'd say, the largest hit. To explain each of the individual units within this division is Mike Menge, Director of the Division of Environmental Quality. Mike.
For the record, my name is Mike Menge. I'm the Director of the Division of Environmental Quality. I'd just like to quickly run down through these, and the numbers before you are indeed true general fund cuts. And these fall into the basic, core services historically that the department delivered. It was one of the major considerations in determining whether to drop a whole program or not. We and the staff agonized for quite some time before making the recommendations. Each one of these programs makes a contribution to human health and environmental safety. So what you see before you is a reduction in each of the programs. One of the reasons, before I get into the numbers, that we did this, that we're seeing an evolution in the department as far as how we render services. We're looking at partnerships and coordinated efforts with other state and federal agencies, also with municipalities. And we believe that through these sharing, we can, in fact, deliver the same service with a reduction in state funding. And that's really not smoke and mirrors. It's just pooling resources. There's quite a bit of duplication of effort we have found in the state, federal, and local agencies. And I believe we can make up the lion's share of any state general fund reductions in simply reducing some of the duplication of effort that we've encountered. So let me run quickly through here. The monitoring and support lab, there would be 2 positions lost there. They're both currently vacant, one of them in Anchorage and one of them down here in Juneau. In the drinking water, there would be 2 positions lost. These are scattered. If you're familiar with our fractionated positions, we have very few positions out in the districts and regions that are 100% fully funded under these programs. So what we have here is a coalition of fractionated positions. If you look on the back and would like to track along, there's also when we talk about the reductions, there's also total numbers within the programs. So it'll help you, I think, compare as we go along the amount of impact that each one of these programs would be suffering. The next one is our wastewater and water treatment. We'll be looking at a reduction of 1 position in the southeast region. Solid and hazardous waste management would be 3 positions. one here in Juneau, and two of them scattered out in the regions. Air quality would be a reduction of one position. And water quality, there would be no reductions. The actual losses are kind of a stew, if you will, each one taking a slightly different flavor. Some would reduce in the amount of time that it would take to respond to a particular issue. Others would be in the amount of monitoring that would take place once a permit had been issued. A great deal of the reduction would be absorbed in kind of what we call unanticipated response to public interest. Someone calls in and says there's sewage overflowing. That would be one of our things that we never did program for, but would respond to. There may be a short period of delay when any of these things take place. The idea to spread the cuts across all the programs is that we still retain a strong presence throughout the state in each one of these programs. We have to go through a serious priority-setting process in each one of these programs. We've asked our employees historically to continue to do more and more with less and less, and that's simply not fair to them and certainly not fair to the people that they work for. We are going to have to make some hard calls and set the priorities as based on the real impacts to health and to the environment. While we're doing that priority setting, we'll continue on, as I said, with these partnerships and try to cut away all of the duplication. One of the efforts that you're familiar with, I'm sure, is the Water Management Council that was formed up. And we'll be putting that effort to test up in Anchorage as we look at some of the problems up there. Each of the agencies making a contribution along with the municipality to study a very complex and difficult issue. These same kinds of arrangements will be set up any place that we have a difficult issue to deal with. We'll also be looking at it in forest practices down in the southeast, looking at the resources that the Forest Service has to offer, Department of Natural Resources, Fish and Game, Department of Environmental Conservation. So I really do believe that we can make up for most of the impacts through these kinds of efforts. We simply have to grow as an agency. Historically, we've just simply had so much that we could afford to do it as we damn well pleased. And frankly, those days are pretty much gone now. And we are going to have to look very diligently at what each of our sister agencies are doing and try to work closer with them to accomplish the goals. What this does, or this proposal, it retains intact these baseline environmental quality protection programs. It allows us the time to come to grips with the shortfalls that we're facing. We recognize that down the track, 2, 3, 4 years from now, we're going to be looking at a much smaller and a much leaner agency. And these things that we're initiating now and will continue to initiate through 93, such as Commissioner talked about the community agreements, the work with the municipalities, all of those things play an integral part in where we have to get to. We're very diligently pushing our pollution prevention program, which hopefully next year, if I'm successful and pleading with the Environmental Protection Agency, we'll be able to establish a pollution prevention individual within each one of the regional offices. These people are truly the white hats of environmental quality. They are able to work with the people in a non-regulatory fashion to place problems up on the table where everyone can work on it before they become a regulated issue. We believe that these programs and others like them will pay off in dividends as we go into time. So that's pretty much the philosophy behind the cuts here. I'll be happy, of course, to discuss any of the ones in specific that anyone has any questions about.
Thank you very much for your presentation, and I think we're done.